Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, and we're brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Hey, we're glad you found us here on the Keystone Sports Network. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We got an hour of Penn State football talk on deck. That's our mission every week of the year. We're here to do it again. Joining me in the studio to kick us off is Ross Tucker.
Hello, how you doing, Ross? Andrew.
Bob Flounders.
Penn State. Andy, how's it going?
Good.
How you doing?
I'm doing...
I like that hat you're wearing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I guess we probably should say what it is since I said I like the hat.
I love the hat. Desert Storm veteran. Love Andy and his service to our country.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bob Flounders is a Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. We've got a full show this week. Continue a couple series, so let's get rolling. We're going to have some news and notes in quarter number one. Quarter two will be Tucker's Tape. We'll continue the breakdown and analysis of the 2020 recruiting class. Quarter three, your questions, his answers. Yep. It's Ask Ross, presented by 409tailgateclub.com. Quarter four, we're going to hit some more of Bob Flounders' 25 most important Penn State players in 2020 in descending order, and it's an early list. So
well said.
We're going to pick up with number 21 this week. So let's get to some news and notes. And relatively speaking, I'm just going to say it was Penn State football-wise, since there's a lot of attention on the basketball team.
Deservedly so.
And deservedly so. There was a lot. There wasn't a lot going on this week. They did, however, over the weekend, I believe, they announced that they have hired their new defensive line coach to replace Sean Spencer, who is gone and with the New York Giants. It is John Scott Jr. He is from South Carolina. He's been around a bit. He has some ties to Brent Pry, and in their early days as coaches. He's made a few stops in college. He's been in the NFL. So he has some experience. So he's Penn State's new assistant. Their coaching staff is now full. So here's my tidbit based on them hiring.
Let's do it.
Their new coach is since 2014. So everyone's a little bit up in arms about, well, there's so many coaches they were leaving. Don't forget they got promoted. Several of them got promoted. Head coach, offensive coordinator, jumped to the NFL. Those are promotions.
The one who was not rehired, though, found a home at Penn State West, which is now Michigan.
Oh, Matt Limegrover.
Yeah.
I did not see that. Thank you. But since for a full-blown top 10 program, which Penn State is, and Ross spoke eloquently last week about it, did you know, guys, that since James Franklin was hired, the Big Ten has 11 new head coaches. Penn State is only one of three schools since he was hired that has a new head coach. So I think that's relevant in terms of the guy at the top is staying, including Michigan State this past week.
Did you know he's the third longest tenured coach in the Big Ten?
Short and sweet.
That would be a better way to phrase it. But I liked how Andy
that's
got there.
That's called brevity.
I've had a bad morning. Bad day, lads.
Hey, no, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. Everything you said there, Andy, there's a lot to talk about. On the D-line coach hire, I don't know, Bob. I mean, I think Franklin has earned the benefit of the doubt with these hires. You know, the guy seemed to be pretty sought after. I like his background. Do I think he's as good as Sean Spencer? No, probably not.
Yeah.
Will we notice much of a drop-off? I don't know. From what I read about it, and I think I was reading Greg Pickle, another member of the Keystone Sports Network team, it sounded like he's not the recruiter that Spencer is. That is concerning, very concerning.
Well, he's going to learn how to recruit if he's going to stay on James Franklin's staff for an appreciable amount of time, because that's just the way it goes. And I will just say this, you know, when Sean came to State College with James Franklin, he was replacing Larry Johnson. And so it was like, well, is he Larry Johnson?
Right.
He'll never be Larry Johnson. Well, you know, there's only so many Larry Johnsons that have ever kind of coached defensive lines in the last, three or four decades. But Sean Spencer really kind of stepped out of I thought Larry's shadow and really kind of made a name for himself, and I think that's why he's in the NFL. So I think Ross is right. Got to give him the benefit of the doubt. I would also say that, you know, 3 years ago, or before Penn State became more established and before James, I don't know if he signed his contract, before James agreed to his contract with more money in the assistant coaching pool, maybe he can't get John Scott to come from South Carolina to go to Penn State because Penn State wasn't really that known of a quantity. So I think maybe what we're seeing is when they lose coaches late, now maybe they are able to get, you know, quality coaches potentially to fill in, not on a moment's notice. I know he wanted Elijah Robinson. I mean, that was the guy he wanted. But, I mean, I don't know that a guy like John Scott would maybe come to Penn State a couple years ago because you just didn't know what the future held at Penn State.
You know, and this kind of ties in, well done by you, Andy, this kind of ties into the Michigan State thing a little bit because not only is Mel Tucker getting twice, more than twice what his salary was at Colorado, but the salary pool for his assistant coaches is more than double. That matters. It makes a difference in terms of being able to get guys. And the fact that Penn State is able to take a guy from an ACC school like Boston or Boston College, or in this instance, an SEC school like South Carolina, I think that says a lot for Penn State. And that in Franklin's latest contract, which he still hasn't signed.
He hadn't as of last week.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, the salary cap pool must have been increased. Do we even know what Pry and Chiraka are getting? Because I was reading up about the amount of assistant coaches in college football that make over $1 million.
There's a lot. I mean, because it's a state school, I don't think they have to release that.
They do
and
not.
It's always a kind of a guesstimate and a report.
Wait a minute, because it's a state school, I thought they did have to
release
that.
I don't think they do.
I don't think they do.
They do not.
No.
Oh, I thought private schools didn't have to, but he's a state employee.
Yeah, well, I think the assistants fall under some kind of different domain. I mean, I know that. I'm pretty sure that is the case.
I think
here comes Jim Galante, our boss.
I think I've read somewhere where they have to release like the top salaries in the entire state, which usually is the head coach at the very least. And I don't know if that reaches down to the assistant coach level.
You know, the academic level, it's like the chancellor or president, their release, but the professor level salaries are not matter of public record. Right. At the top, they're required. But to me, it's pretty clear that it parted in James Franklin's contract. Okay, he got some of his own. But the assistant pool money was important because, look, not that he thought he would have four openings this year, but as his program has grown and become a top 10 program, the expectation should be 1, 2, 3, 4 assistants at this level. If they're going to get promoted and move on, and if they're doing a good job, that's going to be what happens normally going forward. Would you expect one or two every year, Bob? Would that be sort of an
expectation? I think one or two might. I mean, I could potentially be conservative. I think that, I mean, he keeps saying he's not going anywhere, but Taylor Stubblefield just doesn't stick around very long. So, I mean, he's got to be a prime candidate to move next year.
I would also say, in terms of the Mel Tucker thing, what's notable there to me also is that, you know, Michigan State means business. You know, Michigan State, they went to him. He said no. They went to Fickell. Fickell said no. It's obviously not a great situation. They don't really have an athletic director. It's like this business guy that's being the AD. That sounds familiar, by the way. And they came back with him and offered him a lot of money. And he knows that Michigan State's fourth in the Big Ten East. Like, he knows that D'Antonio did better with Michigan State than anybody ever had. And it does go back to something that we've talked about before, which is, I tell kids all the time, pick a college based on the college and the guys on the team and the university and where you want to be and what you want to do. But what I've noticed over the years is most of the time they pick the coaches.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's like they got a great relationship with the offensive line coach. They love the head coach. I see it over and over again. Even people who have been through the process before and they should know better, they base it on these relationships with these coaches. And it's a really poor way to do it. It's you know, a former teammate of mine who's now a head coach in the NFL, Mike Vrabel, Titans, when he was recruiting people, including Alex Anzalone, who's from my high school, ended up, he's playing for the Saints now. Vrabel said to them, whatever you do, don't come here because of me, or don't go to any school because of their coach, because every one of them is going to do what's best for them. Go because you like the campus and the kids on the team and the stadium and what you want to major in. But yet people don't, because everybody's so up in arms about the Mel Tucker thing. Like, everybody up in arms about it, yet they would all do the exact same thing if they were in his shoes.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
The hidden thing to me about that is, and then we'll move on, is it's a lose-lose for both parts. It's a lose-lose if a kid's basing his decision on that. And from a coach, head coach's perspective, they're selling a product, and that's the product they're being paid to sold right then to sell right now. But when they move, they lose too, because look at the firestorm that Mel Tucker's facing for taking twice as much money. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. We are your source for Penn State football news and analysis 52 weeks a year. We never stop talking Penn State football. Quarter number one, some quick news and notes, Bob, Ross, and Andy. Either of you watch any of the XFL?
I caught some of McGloin, Matt McGloin, the gunslinger. He did some gunslinging things. I was happy to see that.
He had a good post-game celebration in the locker room. Some of the changes, it was interesting. I just wanted a quick take on what you thought. Did you like any of it? Did you not like any of it, Ross? Football-wise.
I just like creativity. I just like anything different to just test it. I think that the NFL, whether it was the AAF or now the XFL, whatever the XFL needs so that they can break even or make a little bit of money. I don't know what the ratings have to be or attendance. I personally think the NFL should prop them up.
I think
because
so.
Of what it does for player development, officiating development, coaching pipeline, and to be able to be creative with extra points and onside kicks and punting rules. Like, how much more do they need a little bit of promotion so that they get over the hump? I think it's worth it. I know they're paying for quarterbacks, because I know Matt McGloin, Landry Jones, these guys would not have done it unless they were getting paid a handsome salary. And by the way, none of the quarterbacks will tell you how much they're making, because they're making a lot more than the other players.
So, all right, that'll do it for quarter number one from the Labatt Blue Studio. I had a couple more, but we'll let them pass. Stick around. We are going to continue with quarter number two and Tucker's tape. It's the 2020 recruiting class evaluation. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.